We're here to discuss four gentlemen on screen. Well, five really, if you include Tony Pollard, who we couldn't fit in the graphic. Maybe even DeAndre Swift, if you will. Six running backs. What are their dynasty values right now, given that they don't have homes, they're testing free agency, you're in a dynasty league right now, and you don't know which one of these running backs is going to have a good home, a bad home. Just because it's dynasty doesn't mean we're not debating and having dilemmas surrounding older players, players that potentially could win you a league for one or two more years. It's a very important topic. Derrick Henry in a dynasty league might be one of the better values in terms of a trade for and give up some sort of second rounder that somebody else might be worried about getting now before the wheels fall off. And you're like, I don't really care about the second rounder. My team's looking legit and I could win a league if Derrick Henry brings it for one more year. These guys are actually pretty solid go-get players to some degree in that context. We're talking about their dynasty values. We're talking about their homes and which home might make a good landing spot for the long term, the remaining amount of time that each of these running backs have left. The Fantasy Football Show Dynasty Edition begins right now.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios, it's the Dynasty Fantasy Football Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you filing on in for another episode of the Fantasy Football Show Dynasty Style, Dynasty Fantasy Football here on YouTube. And we're talking about the old dogs again. We did this the other day talking about a bunch of the old dogs, Cooper Kupp included. But now we're going to kind of hone in on the topic of these four or five running backs that are not tagged. And that goes for Pollard, and it goes for the four gentlemen you see on screen, Henry, Barkley, Eckler, and Jacobs. And as I said in the open, all these guys have the potential to kind of wane and fall off. And not be as productive as maybe we thought they could be. I get all that. And there is a risk level in terms of acquiring in a dynasty league, a player like Derrick Henry, a player like Barkley, Ziggy, how old is Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley is 27 years old and was born on February 7th, 1997.
Yeah, 27. So February 7th, happy birthday, Saquon. Saquon Barkley, he's got, 28's the hold your breath year. So he's got this year and then maybe next year if he's lucky. He's a very kind of injury prone type of back. He's always getting banged up. And, he's been a lot of the time going back on the field and everything. But I would say that he's one of those running backs that I could feel drop off at their 28 age season or right after it. So like no shot at 29, 30. He could be one of those RBs. Derrick Henry's the anomaly. Derrick Henry's 30 years old walking into this year. Don't ever expect to see a 29-year-old running back do what Derrick Henry did last year. And certainly don't ever bank on a running back. Derrick Henry's the only one I would kind of bank on to do something. To do something to the tune of like 10, 12 touchdowns and 900 yards, even if he misses a handful of games. He's going to a potent situation. So that brings us to the landing spots for these gentlemen. And if we pull up the landing spot board, let's talk about it from a dynasty perspective. Dynasty only. That's and the phone lines are open if anybody wants to dial in during this this show. I mean, Barkley in Houston, Barkley in Dallas, Barkley in Baltimore, Barkley probably in LAC. I know LAC is a lot of people's favorite spot for Barkley. Because they're going to run the ball a ton. It's a good spot. It's definitely a good spot. For some reason, I rank it four out of these top four landing spots. So hear what I'm saying. The Chargers are in the top four landing spots. Most people's number one for Barkley. I just think we might be seeing Harbaugh run a committee of some sorts, which might be okay because they run the ball enough. But if he drafts Blake Corum, which I think he fully would, I don't know that this would be exactly the way we see it playing out. Whereas in Houston, he's getting all the work. It's a long-term situation as well. Dallas, he's getting all the work. They want a workhorse running back. That is a long-term situation, long enough for Barkley. And Baltimore, the same thing. Henry, I don't think Henry goes to LAC. I don't think Henry goes to Houston. I don't think Henry goes to these three teams, which are on the list because they're potent offenses that could, may or may not be looking for an RB. They were in the offseason. Cincinnati and Buffalo very much linked to Derrick Henry trades and Austin Eckler trades. Austin Eckler is in a minute going to be my projected Cincinnati Bengal land, but hang tight on that. Derrick Henry is kind of cemented in more so than any of these guys to find the exact home he wants because he's firing on all cylinders. We all know he's on the verge of drop-off. I mean, we're talking about like we were holding our breath last year. We're watching the time run out on the oxygen tank. We know that the drop-off could happen at any moment. No one's fooling themselves by expecting Derrick Henry to play 15, 16, 17 games. Like he could play 10, 11. Because his talent hasn't necessarily dropped off too much, him hitting the hole has become, in my opinion, a problem that we could see maybe really, really getting, to become a bigger problem walking into this next season. We could absolutely see him just get smashed at the line of scrimmage time and time and time again. These teams that want a ground and pound game, Dallas and Baltimore specifically, they do. Even more so than Houston and LAC, like I said, they want a ground and pound, but they'll do it a ton of different ways. Philly, they do when they don't. Cincinnati, they do when they don't. Buffalo, they definitely don't most of the time, do some of the time. These are the two ground and pound locations that you want Barkley, Jacobs, and Henry to go to. These are the two cream of the crop landing spots for ground and pound football. And Barkley fits really well with this, you know, very balanced attack that they'll use and give Barkley a ton of receptions. Henry, not so much. However, is Henry a victim of not being used in the passing game more than he is not a good passing, you know, or catching running back? I think it's actually he is a good catching running back. He's kind of proven that. And yet Tennessee didn't throw to him a ton. And every time they did, he did well. He'd catch a ball in the flat, take it 70 yards, you know, downfield, if not for a touchdown, for a long scamper. So maybe Houston or LAC could utilize his passing game skills a little bit more, his receiving game skills a little bit more. But I think at the end of the day, ground and pound is the best thing for Derrick Henry. It's his best chance of getting 10, 12 touchdowns, even if he plays 11 games, you know, has 950 yards rushing, and he somehow kind of sneaks into the top 8 to 14 running backs. Baltimore again as well, same thing. Barkley's the most dynamic of the trio, in my opinion. I think he could thrive in any one of the four situations. Jacobs probably as well. I think he could thrive in any of these situations. I kind of just envision Jacobs in Baltimore, Derrick Henry in Dallas, and Barkley in Houston, and LAC. Barkley in LAC or Houston, and LAC taking an approach of maybe, I don't know that they'd retain Eckler. They could, and then they draft Quorum. That could be the ground and pound combination. The Thunder and Lightning bring it back. Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler. Even though I don't think Quorum is that much of a bruising back. I know a lot of people like him. But that's kind of my thought. But I think Eckler at the end of the day goes to Cincinnati. Why? Because there was such a big rumor. There was a rumor about Henry going to Buffalo too, but Henry probably wasn't his first landing spot choice, right? He probably fits in Dallas. He fits in Baltimore. He probably fits most in Baltimore. He just feels like a guy that would want to go over and play with Lamar and play in this doubted territory, go get a ring. He wants to help them get a ring. I think Dallas is an attractive spot. Henry could very much want to go play in a Dallas uniform, but maybe I switch this and I say Jacobs goes to Dallas and Henry goes to Baltimore, because the more I think about it, I mean, Henry wants to be a part of that. I think he doesn't want to go where they've continued to fail. He wants to go somewhere where they're just kind of rising up, and they failed, but they don't feel like Dallas feels like they've been failing over and over and over. And maybe he wants to be the cure and the answer, and maybe Dallas football sounds great to him. I think he's going to one of these two spots anyway, but Baltimore, maybe that is better for Henry. And maybe Jacobs in Dallas. We'll have to see. But what I was saying is, so Buffalo is rumored to maybe be tied to Henry trades, but again, not his choice of landing spot, his top choice, and he gets, you know, total choice now. He's an unrestricted free agent, not tagged. These guys were not tagged today. Eckler, because Eckler wanted to go to Cincinnati. I have it on very strong authority from multiple sources that are very, 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 I believe, close enough to the situation that I could speak pretty confidently that Eckler almost was traded to Cincinnati. It was this close, and he wanted to go to Cincinnati. So I do feel like this is a marriage that maybe was delayed, but eventually will occur. And I think that might not be the worst landing spot. You know, put Eckler. I do believe Eckler has the potential chance to have one more electric year left. He was very banged up last year. He's still a specimen of a human being. He was doing, I got it on my, actually I can show it here. I got it on my Instagram where the guy's just doing these pull-ups with a 100-pound weight in between his ankles. And it's just unreal what this guy, doing. Here's the video. Let me see if I can put it up. This is the video of Eckler doing these pull-ups, and he's got this 100-pound weight. And you don't even know it's a 100-pound weight yet until at the end, after he finishes about 10 rips of these pull-ups. And I was saying pull-ups determines whether your legs still have it. It's really about legs and burst, right? But this guy is showing how good of an athlete he is. 100-pound weight. He can barely carry it over, but he can. It's crazy to me. So I do have a little bit of a small feeling that Eckler could 100%, or not 100%, pardon my, it's been late. I haven't eaten yet. I've got the pizza bacon right now. I'm going to try a Lou Malinari slice of pizza. I'm in the middle of a 48-hour fast. It was a 72-hour fast, but I'm cutting it short today because I think I've done good. I've lost about 8.5 pounds. I just went on a huge run walk and got my 10,000 steps in. I'll probably go do more steps after this. I'm burning 3,000 to 3,500 calories a day. That Lou Malinati's pizza is waiting for me right now in the oven. I think, so not 100%. I very much believe there is a strong percentage chance that Eckler isn't done. I don't know if he'll last the year, though. I don't know that he'll, whatever I think he's not done doing, and he comes out, let's say, on a tear in the first month and a half, 2 months, I think there's a chance he could tail off, get hurt again. The real hang up with older players like Henry, like Eckler, like Cooper Kupp, a wide receiver, is their inability to stay healthy no matter how much they still have talent. Like, look at Cooper Kupp last year. Kind of kept getting hurt, couldn't stay healthy, you were just worried all year. That is a problem for older players. That's where sometimes the crutch is. It's not necessarily they lose all their talent at 28 or in wide receiver's case, 30. 30 is a wide receiver hold your breath cutoff year where maybe they can pull it off. And 28 is the year for RBs. Sometimes they look amazing, you know, in the beginning of the year and then they get injured. Stephon Diggs, 30 years old, looked amazing at the beginning of the year, started slowing down. He was different. He didn't get hurt. He just slowed down. Eckler got hurt. Kupp got hurt. Eckler didn't look good and got hurt. Kupp looked great, but kept getting hurt. It's a different variation and different variables involved, and they're not always the same. A declining wide receiver at 30 may decline due to just his body breaks down and he doesn't have burst and he's not good anymore, or a declining 30-year-old wide receiver might just get injured but play great every time he's on the field, but he keeps getting hurt and he can never stay on the field. Tyreek Hill is going to fall victim to this a little bit earlier than we want. We could do a whole other show on that just because of his fast twitch, these quick hamstring guys that have this quick twitch. They tend to rub those hamstrings down to paper thin is the analogy. It's not really paper thin. But they end up tearing their hamstrings so often as soon as they get to a certain age because they're firing off those hamstrings differently than you and I are. Like, Tyreek Hill's twitch is so crazy. I'm not saying Tyreek Hill doesn't have this one more year, but I will be one of the people that probably says, let's pump the brakes on putting all of our eggs in one basket with Tyreek Hill walking into the 2025 season. So everybody's got a different reason why they drop off when they hit that wide receiver 30 age season and running back 28 age season. He's going to be 27. He's going to be 30, Henry. Ziggy, how old is Josh Jacobs? I think he's 26.
Josh Jacobs is 26 years old.
Yeah.
And was born on February 11th, 1990.
Yeah, happy birthday. He just had a birthday too. Josh Jacobs, 26. Eckler, 28. No, playing 29. Ziggy, how old is Austin Eckler? He's playing 29. He's 29 in his season, right? Ziggy, how old is Austin Eckler?
AMBRsoft.com.
Ziggy. 28. Okay, 28 May. So he in May, he's turning 29. So that's a problem. That's a problem.
I'm having trouble hearing.
Ziggy off.
Can you say?
Ziggy off. That's a problem. 29 years old. That doesn't happen. But how cheap do we get him? How cheap do we get him? Ron, you didn't stop me from the pizza was going to happen anyway. Ron says he feels guilty for putting pizza on my mind last night. When I'm in the middle of my fast, it didn't really affect me too much, Ron. I was thinking about that pizza the whole time. I was joking with you. It's time for me to eat. It really is. The amount of calories I'm burning off, I think I could be, even though I'm pounding the water, I could be dehydrated beyond, you know, or just lacking electrolytes and all kinds of things. And I think it's just better for me to eat after 50 hours or so. I think it's good. I lost 8-9 pounds. By the time I weigh myself right now, I might be 9 pounds. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. Again, guys, these guys were tagged. Pollard, or not tagged. God, I can't even think. My head, I need food. My brain's not even working. I said AJ Green the other night when I started off the AJ Brown video. I was like, AJ Green is... yeah, I mean, my mind is starving. These five guys were not tagged. Jacobs, Eckler, Barkley, Henry, and Pollard. And on that note, we're taking phone calls if anybody would like to discuss long-term options. Who of these four, or if you include Pollard, five, or Swift, six, which one of these RBs is the most valuable in Dynasty if they get this right spot? And you can give me a surprise and say, look, he's not going to be unless he lands here. Example, Jacobs. If Jacobs lands in Dallas or in Houston as the long-term starter, he could be the best one of the lot by far. It could happen. If Eckler lands in Cincy, he could be crafty, but maybe not last the whole year. I sound like Joe. The thing. I do the drill. The guy. You know, the guy, like, that's what Denny talks. Denny's like, you know, the guy, I like the guy. That guy, you know, that guy's pretty good. What's his name? What's his name? Dial in.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
You know the thing. I should just come on and do a whole show. See how long people stay in the live stream. It's be like, the guy did the thing and just go for like 10 minutes like that. Just see what happens. See how many people leave. I'm only targeting Jacobs and Barkley, says Crackshot. You sound like freaking Joe. Great. Let's see what else you guys got in here. True, believe our draft picks will focus on linemen. Your draft picks. Who are you talking about draft picks? Who's we? Superfish, we're not a part of this team. Are you a Niner fan? I forget. You can trade away Tyreek mid-year after he's through his freshness. I don't mind that strategy. Same thing with McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey. It might be smart in week 9, week 8 to just take a gander in Dynasty about what you could bring in a trade. If he's firing off, and let's say Breece Hall or Gibbs or Kyren's in a slump, and you can make a swap, you know, you gotta look at that. Superfish, okay, Dolphins, that's right. Fish, I should have known. Who would you take Super Flex Rookie Draft 1.2? It's a good question. It depends on what my QB room looks like. I'm a little bit more willing to take a gamble than the average bear on a non-running back selection if I've got one stud like Mahomes or Hurts or Josh Allen, and then I've got like this kind of rotation that's doing okay. Not to mention, I would go after like a Rattler. I'd go after a couple other guys. I'd go after a Russell Wilson in a low ball trade. I'd try and figure some of that stuff out. But that isn't to say I wouldn't take JD5 if he's sitting there. I firmly believe the regular population of fantasy football connoisseurs out there feels like Caleb is the 1.1. But I'd be very tempted at 1.2. You're probably got a good shot at Marvin Harrison Jr. unless you know the guy that's drafting one's going Harrison. Then at that point, I'm probably going JD5. I love Odunze. I love Neighbors. I think I can't fully answer this question or lock in my answer until we got landing spots because Odunze has Ja'Marr Chase upside. I made Odunze. Look at the Moon Man. Look at him.
The Moon Man dropping loads in outer space.
It's got four rookies on it already. But, we might not put a ton more rookies
space monsters
on it. But Braylon Allen, Penix Jr., Odunze. Odunze could be Ja'Marr Chase 2.0. He really could be. It depends on where he goes. Love Odunze. If JD5 finds that Washington landing spot, not Chicago. I don't want him in Chicago. I'm not saying I'm going to call him a bust in Chicago, but I'll bang my head against this desk in the draft if somehow the Bears wind up with JD5. I don't want him there. I don't want him there. JD5 is hard to pass on, my bro. He's hard to pass on. If Marvin Harrison's there, I'd maybe take him if you've got one stud quarterback. But if you're dealing with like a... don't take us the wrong way, Ron. But like a Cousins and Goff combo. Or, something that doesn't feel like... Not only it's not top five in Dynasty feeling... But you don't even know how long you have. That I would take JD5. If you've got Mahomes and the number one overall guy goes Caleb and JD5 is available, and you got Mahomes and let's say Russell or quarterback, you just kind of believe in that others don't. Like in your case, Ron, you like Kenny Pickett. I don't. But. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is near impossible for me to pass on, but that's only if I've got a Mahomes. You know, because Superflex, Ronnie, your question is Superflex, not mandatory to QB. Those are two very different scoring or fantasy settings. Mandatory to QB is where you're required to start two QBs. Then I would go JD5, no question, doesn't matter. In Superflex, it is a super flex spot. It's one mandatory quarterback and a super flex that can be a running back, wide receiver. And in that case, Marvin Harrison Jr. might outscore that quarterback every single week. So I'm not really wavering on Marvin Harrison, I don't think, at 1.2 if Caleb goes. And even JD5 is available and you've got Mahomes, example. Cousins and Geno. Yeah, so could you win with this for a couple years? Probably. Depends on the rest of your team, but I think we gotta wait until the draft, you know what I mean? Like JD5 in Washington is gonna be gold in my opinion, but at the same time Marvin Harrison Jr. is gold. It's really tough. It's really tough. And Cousins will be good for a couple years for sure. He looks great, by the way. I don't know if anybody saw my main channel show today, but we had Cousins. We had a picture of him here, a tweet. That's not it. Let me see if I can find it. Kirk Cousins was on a tennis court, and on a tennis court, probably just because it's closed off and everything indoors, is controlled settings, you know, flat surface. He was like doing some aggressive dropbacks and cuts and plants on both legs, so that's great news. And he certainly is on the road to recovery for sure. For sure. MHJ should average double digits off the rip. Yeah, definitely. Peanut butter and jelly. How you doing with your fasting, by the way, bro? Matt O and Peanut Butter and Jelly are on about hour 48, I believe, as well. And I think they're going to push through to 72 hours, and I couldn't. They're animals. I mean, granted, I think I could have had I not been running and walking combination of 7+ miles per day. And I did that the day before too. So I did that the 2 days before. Was that from inside Cousins minivan? No. It was on the basket, on the tennis courts. All right. Anybody has a call-in question, especially around these guys or a prediction, dial in.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
I will say I've got massive heartburn from this fasting. I thought maybe not drinking the Coke would have made the heartburn go straight away, but I think it's the stomach acids that are in there without anything in there. And it's been kind of a problem. Last night I barely slept 2 days in a row. That's another reason why I wanted to eat tonight, so I could at least sleep. I just need a good night's sleep too, because the whole burning 3,500 calories a day with no eating, with the heartburn, with the no sleep, it was just time. Travis, what's up? You're live.
Hey, Smitty.
What's going on?
With these running backs, what?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. With these running backs, I think all of them, like you said, can have good value in the right place. But would you say that Saquon is really the only one you could envision having a top five season again? Or do you think Jacobs could sneak into that?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if you saw what I said, that Jacobs could be the number one of all of them. If, let's say, he goes to Houston and, you know, or Dallas, and they use him right. He certainly could. I think I would bank on it being Barkley. I think kind of how a lot of people view Bijan and the Atlanta Falcons, they just kind of, they've gotten controlled into thinking they're garbage, like, or that they've got potential. But you'll see people, one of the guys in my, I think it was my YouTube comments or my Instagram comments on the Bijan video, he said, I wouldn't take Bijan in rounds 1 through 3. And I was like, bro, I respect everyone's opinion, even if I'll argue against you, but like, you lost me the moment you didn't want him at least at like the 2.1. And you wouldn't get him at 2.1, but I'm just saying, if you want to wait and see on the Falcons offense, so be it. I get it. But at the end of the day, like, you're going to see, in similar fashion, you're going to see Barkley, I think, doubted to a little bit of a degree. He's going to be a very hot commodity when he gets a new home. But I think everybody doesn't understand how held back he was. And he plays so aggressively. And that's a concern, because he can get banged up. He's like Pacheco in that. But I don't think people realize how good he is anymore. I think they kind of know in the back of their mind, but they don't know how to take action upon it or put it like in a place of, okay, I do believe this. It's just kind of floating around in the brain. And they're like, you know, Barkley, I think he could be, I don't know, there's remnants of that moment in time where I thought he was the number one running back in fantasy football. He's amazing. Like, he is if you put him in look at, no shade on Devin Singletary. I love Devin Singletary coming out of college, by the way. And he played phenomenal in Houston. But that was about a 70, 60% situation, 40% talent. You know, the talent was great. He's fantastic. But you put Saquon Barkley in Houston and give him all those dump offs, and he has all those wide open rushing lanes. You got Tank Dell and Collins just stretching the field all over, crisscrossing, and Stroud making these amazing decisions, and the, you know, just the whole team, the defense, everything just coming together, and they're going to be so much more improved this year. Like, Singletary was just ripping him off, and sometimes it wasn't like, it looked good. He was doing good. He was doing good work. Again, Singletary, I love the guy. And we saw Zach Moss do nothing in Buffalo and go to Indy and do well. We saw Singletary leave Buffalo and come to Houston and do well. So clearly, you know, these guys were better than they were made out to be, and I think people just can't accept Singletary as a good player because he struggled for so many years. But I believe that same thing is going to happen to Barkley. Barkley comes over to Houston and he could be running back 3 on the year for fantasy 2024. I'm not saying he will be. I'm not saying he has to be. I'm not saying he stays healthy, because that's a worry of mine. But good God, Barkley will, people just forget. They're going to get reminded of how explosive he could be. He could have 2,300 total yards and like 15 touchdowns in the right spot if he stayed healthy. If he stayed healthy.
Well, that's why, you know, people can say the Giants are stupid because they specifically took him, but he went top five in a draft for a reason that I understand is a few years out now, but his talent is, you know, above and beyond like 90% of the running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's part of why I feel a little nervous about the Giants. They just seem like a black hole. And no. He's not getting tagged. I mean, that, unless they could change that, but I there's going to be a certain time where they won't be able to, but right now they're not tagging him. But he said he wants to stay in New York, but I think he's just placating the situation and he doesn't really want to stay. He's just trying to keep it copacetic. But the Giants scare me because what if they take Penix Jr., Bo Nix? They should. I had a caller the other night that said he thinks the Giants will take a quarterback. And I said, they should 100% take a quarterback because Danny Dimes isn't it. And they're not going to find better quarterbacks, I think, than this quarterback class. Next year, Penix Jr. comparatively might be the best of the entire lot next year. Right. If he was to go out, Bo Nix could be QB number one overall next year's QB class. I'm not saying that doesn't change as the season rolls along, but the Giants need to take a quarterback. But will they? I don't know. But I'm afraid that they smarten up and they take a quarterback instead of rolling. You know, they're going to roll with Danny Dimes because the money is huge. But they would let this quarterback sit on the bench and learn, and then they have a short leash on Danny Dimes. But I'm scared that they take Neighbors. I'm scared that they take Odunze. And if they do that without having a quarterback, now quarterbacks can change from year to year. You know, 1 year of Odunze doing okay to going to a sophomore year with, let's say they trade for a Justin Fields type that's available next, you know, offseason. And I don't know that we'll have a lot of those opportunities next offseason, but Giants scare me. I feel like they're a black hole and they're a pit that's going to swallow up a fantasy football asset at number six overall, an offensive asset like Brock Bowers, you know, or something like that, you know?
I guess the only hope is that whoever's playing quarterback there, Daboll gets the most out of them, and maybe that doesn't completely kill, you know, it's hoping, but
yeah,
that's the only hope, really.
Shedeur Sanders, I think he could be the number one of the class, or he should be. We'll see. I mean, the season's long. But if JD5, Penix Jr., and Bo Nix were in next year's class, I predict they would at least be in level playing field as Sanders. Sanders could gain more and more and more value, though. Like, you know, give him time. But my point being that the Giants will, if they don't get the number one overall pick, then they won't get him. You know what I mean? Right now they have control of getting a guy equal to Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, I don't know. But as far as like teams that if they got, let's say Jacobs, and Jacobs could go back to LV. I think he probably likes Pierce a lot better than his former situation. And Adams is there, and it depends on what quarterback they get. And if you remember back when the franchise tag wasn't slapped on Jacobs last year, Jacobs said something to the tune of, "I don't mind playing on the tag as long as we're going for it and we're all in." And that was Aaron Rodgers. Right. That was his angle toward Aaron Rodgers. Right. So he actually was willing to play on the tag very willingly if they got a quarterback. They got Jimmy G and he's like, "I'm out." And remember all the people that said, you're wrong about Jimmy G, Smitty? Adams didn't want to play with him. Adams said, "This is not the direction I wanted to go in." The moment they signed Adams, and everyone's like, "He didn't mean that about Jimmy G." Yes, he did, 100,000%, because he said that when they signed him. And Jimmy G was the stupidest move. I told everyone that was the stupidest move. He's not even he wasn't even a top 32 quarterback. He never really was. He was in an amazing system that propped him up. And in some respects, Purdy's also propped up a little bit. Doesn't mean Purdy's not good. He's very smart. Purdy's probably one of the smarter quarterbacks I've seen in the NFL in a long time. But that doesn't necessarily translate. There are a lot of smart quarterbacks. There's a lot of rocket scientists you know, types in the NFL that never did anything. It doesn't. Yep. But he's very, very smart. Picks up the playbook very quickly. He's got good pocket presence, too. Like, something comes this way, he steps aside really nicely. But he's definitely, definitely, definitely not as good as he's being portrayed to be right now, because some people are whispering top five quarterback, and that's insanity. But I don't know where I was going on that, actually, but I sidetracked myself.
You're just saying how, what's his name? Said he would play on the franchise tag happily, but when Jimmy G came in, he was like,
yeah,
no.
So, yeah, I was going to say that
Jacobs,
that if LV made a big bull move, but, you know, he doesn't sign somewhere first, you know what I mean? They make a big bull move. Like, they trade for Fields, right, and then he hasn't signed yet. Then I could see him going back to LV. And I could see Antonio Pierce paying him when, you know, it was not something that was going to happen under the current regime when the season began. And there was a time frame, too, that crossed that no matter what Antonio Pierce wanted to do, he couldn't extend him anymore. That was off the table until after the year. So, you know, we might not know, we might not be privy to an Antonio Pierce conversation with Jacobs that said you should have been signed. I was totally for it, and I would have done everything I could to give you your big long-term contract, and I'm going to give it to you this offseason. And he might be like, look, this is where I want to be. You know, you get a quarterback in here, we're going to get a quarterback. We're going to get Fields or Cousins or something, you know, like Russell Wilson even. And I think that at that point, you'll see Jacobs very strongly consider returning to LV. But just like anything, as soon as you get broken free a little bit, you know, you're it's easy to look your coach in the eye and all your people in the eye, Davante Adams in the eye, all your teammates, and just say, yeah, I definitely want to play here. But then the moment you step out into free agency and you start getting, you know, treated differently and they cater to you and they start, you know, holding the bag in front of you, it's a little different. So, like, Baltimore seems very attractive for Jacobs, just like Henry. I think Jacobs and Henry are the most likely Baltimore landing spot. They feel Jacobs. They feel like Henry. That's the type of player they want. That's the type of team they want. Gritty team like that.
Yeah.
Like Baltimore.
They were the ones that said someone with pedigree, right? Or whoever was talking about it said that Baltimore wants a running back with pedigree.
Yeah.
Well, that's
anybody else have anything call in? I don't know how much longer I'm going to go because I got to go eat that slice of pizza that's ready.
Yeah. I was going to ask real quick. I know we covered it, I'm sure, when we talked about it, but in a dynasty league, if you had the 1.1 and you were taking Marvin Harrison, like one QB league, who would you trade the 1.1 for? Like, what would you need as an offer to give that pick up?
To give up Marvin Harrison?
Yeah.
What's your team have? What's it look like?
Pretty good. I have, I have Puka, Olave, and London. All right. Other wide receivers.
Those are good.
Pretty good at wide receiver. I have Bijan and Achan. After that, I'm a little light at running back.
Quarterbacks?
Then Fields, AR5, and Dak.
And you start one QB?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're fine at quarterback. I still want you to try and move one of those quarterbacks not named AR5. If you can, mm-hmm. You're going to wait till Fields. I remember this conversation. Wait till Fields gets his new home. That will create excitement for him. And then all you got to do is use the 1.1 in Fields to get just something slightly better than the 1.1. You know, like, example, I mean, the thing is, I don't know. There aren't a lot of things better than Fields in the 1.1, though. Like a Breece Hall, a JJ. And some might argue that Marvin Harrison's better than all of those, because if you believe in him as the eventual wide receiver one overall, then he think of like trading for JJ when you're, or think of trading JJ away. But you don't need all three quarterbacks, and you can almost overpay. And is there a team out there that needs a quarterback? What do they have?
see. I'm looking really quick.
Because this might be harder than we think to just even deal Fields, because, like, if someone offered you a quarterback, you wouldn't take one. And
one kid that needs a quarterback, his best players are... he has Herbert, actually, so he may not.
Yeah, he's not going to. He'll like Herbert.
He's not going to want to do anything. One guy has Kyler, so I don't know if he's, he could be iffy. He has CeeDee Lamb.
No, he's not getting up on Kyler. The Fields is not going to be an upgrade to Herbert or Kyler owners. They just won't.
Right. Because it's a one quarterback league.
Yeah, so you're kind of stuck there. I don't know. Your team's so good. I don't know that I would.
I think I'm probably just going to stay with it. But one guy, all he has is Flacco and Geno Smith.
Okay, who's he have at running back and wide receiver?
CMC, Zay Flowers, DK, Debo. That's about it. His team's
like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could.
I plan on just taking Marvin Harrison. But
yeah.
I would just take him.
He's gonna unseat one of your two receivers easily. You got Olave, Puka, and who?
I have more wide receivers than I know what to do with.
But Olave, Puka, and who is the third one?
Olave, Puka. In London.
Yeah, so, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Puka are your top two right away. So you've got a nice rotation going, unless you can start another flex and you start all three of them, or all four of them. But I would wait to shop Fields when someone gets hit with injury. Because all those teams you named off that had, like, Herbert, and if they suffer an injury, Fields is going to – like, remember in the Marsman League, nobody would trade for AR5, and I did – once I got hit with the Burrow injury.
Right.
I mean, just wait. You'll find your opportunity. A lot of people think they got to do something before the season begins. Draft Marvin Harrison Jr. If anything, Marvin Harrison Jr. is worth more than the 1.1. The 1.1 is not a real player yet. And so there's kind of this this little mind game where you're trading the 1.1. If you have Marvin Harrison Jr. and you're trading him, that means he's no longer, like, it's not even a pipe dream anymore. You don't have the 1.1, but he's not on anybody's team yet. You just kind of, I don't know, it's a weird process. But once you have Marvin Harrison Jr., once somebody gets hit with an injury, you could probably get the world. But I don't even think you want to do it. I think, you know what I would do if I was you? Keep Marvin Harrison, keep Puka, keep probably London. And I'm trading Olave and Fields the moment somebody gets hit with an injury, and I'm just getting just a slightly better wide receiver or running back than Olave. You know what I mean? Just throw Fields in almost for free to get a perceived upgrade or a perceived even swap in player, but like an upgrade to you. So example would be Olave to, I don't know. Maybe Odunze is great at that moment. You're like, this guy's the next Jamar Chase. Like, just play it by ear.
Yeah.
Hold on one second, and Travis. Go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, all those teams I listed, they only have one quarterback. So if they get an injury, then they will want the Fields or something like that.
Yeah. Hoffman, you're live. I won't be here too long, so I'm sorry if I make it short for you. Mm-hmm.
That's no problem.
Happy birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to you too, Travis.
Travis, is your birthday today?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's both of ours.
I didn't know that.
Well, mine just ended.
Look at me. Look at me. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to both of you. Standing ovation.
Thank you. So your quarterback situation, Travis, is you said it's Kyler and Fields.
No, I got a Fields, AR5, and Dak.
Okay, yeah, you're good. You don't need one. I would definitely be taking Harrison probably there. But I'm a little surprised, Smitty, by your take on taking, even if he is your quarterback one, taking JD5 over seeing if you can drum up interest in a trade back to somebody who really wants Caleb, because Caleb is seems to be the consensus quarterback one, right?
So well,
wouldn't you want to try to get the extra assets?
A, it's February 26th, so JD5 might be everyone's fantasy wide receiver quarterback one come draft day. Like, so you start planning too much far ahead with what the information you have now, and you might be left going, damn it, I don't have JD5 anymore. I totally overshot this thing. He could climb everybody. Like, he hasn't had a combine yet, which he's not doing anything at really. But he hasn't had his pro day yet. He might have two pro days. Sometimes they have two pro days if they don't, you know, depending on how they do with their first one. But JD5, if he goes off and knocks everyone's socks off, and you might have fantasy worlds in that trendy, okay, I got fatigue on Caleb syndrome. And JD5 looks like the next Lamar Jackson. You cannot play around with one draft slot and expect to not get burned. You know, you have to just, if he's your number one QB, don't put it in someone else's hands. You got the number two pick. You're already maybe not going to get him, because if he goes number one overall, because everyone's just floored by him, then now you have Caleb or Marvin Harrison debate, and you don't have your quarterback to even want. I think more people are going to doubt Caleb than you think walking into the fantasy drafts. But if I'm wrong on that, I'm glad, because I want JD5 no matter how Caleb looks. I know how Caleb.
I can see that, because fair or foul, I know USC had a really, really bad defense, but he was supposed to do a lot more with that roster than he did this year. I mean, I think a lot of people were probably holding that against him. I know I do a little bit. I expected better out of USC this year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Caleb, but as I've said several times over the last handful of shows, if Caleb goes to Chicago, I think he fails to some degree. He may not completely bust, but he won't necessarily live up to the expectation, in my opinion, because of the way Chicago is right now and the way that I just don't believe in necessarily Waldron being the guy. It doesn't mean that I hate Waldron or that Waldron wouldn't be good in a different situation, but to ask him to cultivate a guy with a lot of question marks to a lot of people and be kind of a very unique case for them not to, and for everything I can fathom and collect every piece of information I can collect, the Chicago Bears did an interview, like to dot their I's and cross their T's with Cliff Kingsbury, but they didn't want him as the OC. And if you're going to take Caleb Williams and not bring in his former QB coach, who he wants very badly, they're like this. Mm-hmm. They're so close. And Kingsbury's offensive attack is amazing. It doesn't matter how he failed as a head coach. He is a offensive savant, just like Kyle Shanahan is, even though Kyle Shanahan's not the best head coach. If Shanahan was available as an OC, if he got fired, he'd become an OC somewhere. He probably wouldn't be a head coach somewhere. He'd probably become an OC. Maybe he would get a head coaching job, but he'd be an OC somewhere, and he'd be amazing. He'd be absolutely amazing. He'd be the best OC you could find. And Cliff Kingsbury, for Chicago not to see this, just shows why they're failing. And if they keep Fields, they're going to fail him. If they draft Caleb, they're going to fail him. It's almost like a catch 22, because keeping Fields is the right move, but the way they've set it up, I don't think it will succeed. So Fields does need to get out. And because I already questioned Caleb anyway, I want Caleb to go to Chicago. If anybody's going to get burned on this, I don't want it to be Fields. I don't want it to be JD5.
You know how I feel about this. I really don't think Chicago is as far off as everyone seems to think. Like, I just don't. I think they can have a good draft and they'll become a much better team. Like, I just, maybe it's wrong, but like, I liked a lot of what I saw. That defense became elite after the trade for Sweat. Their offense, that with an incomplete weapon, their drop percentages of like everybody except for Moore and Kmet were over like 15% for every single other target. If they fix that, that will greatly enhance whoever is throwing the ball. If they can fix the line,
Yeah,
they'll give them more time to throw. I mean, I don't think they're that far off.
They have a lot of talent, but I don't trust Shane Waldron to be this guy. Like, if you're gonna be in this situation where you're either trying to rejuvenate a quarterback, you failed as a Chicago Bear organization. You failed Fields. You failed
them. There's a legitimate question, like who is the reason that despite having weapons the caliber of Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet, DK Metcalf, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Tyler Lockett, and even Noah Fant to some degree, you still were a mid offense? Is it because Geno isn't that good, or because Waldron isn't?
Well, we don't have this is where I'm at. This is like by sum total of my argument. I do not know with a certainty that Waldron will be bad. I can't know. But I do know that I don't have any evidence to make me believe he's an elite choice for a situation that needs an elite choice. You're going to either have Caleb or a broken Fields that you need to repair. And you bring in Shane Waldron. That is evidence to me that the Chicago Bears don't necessarily know what they're doing. It doesn't mean Waldron's horrible, but he's not elite enough to handle these two very complex situations. This is trigonometry. This isn't algebra. You know, you're bringing in a first level high school math teacher to teach the highest level of college physics or whatever. This is crazy to me that this is their choice, especially when they had a potential, and I don't know how it fell through and why. Maybe Kingsbury didn't want to go to Chicago, but I can't imagine that to be true when he knew that he could be coaching Caleb Williams.
I just don't believe it. Rumors of him not wanting Chicago are really true.
Kingsbury
didn't want to go.
That wouldn't have been the case though if Kingsbury was there waiting with him with open arms. I can almost guarantee you that he would have been. This is his. They're so close. Mm-hmm. Their families are like this. The Caleb Williams family and the Kingsburys are like this, and so if Kingsbury was waiting there with open arms, I just don't understand why you wouldn't have made that move. It doesn't make any sense.
Caleb was in Kingsbury's ear, like, I don't want to go to Chicago. Please don't sign with Chicago.
I mean, that's such guesswork that we can't go down that road. The only thing I can say to you though is Chicago didn't hire an elite choice. Maybe he proves me wrong. Mm-hmm. Is he a failure? No, he's not a failure. Is he a horrible OC? No, he's not. But this is trigonometry. This is not high school algebra. Maybe Waldron's a good algebra teacher, but he's going to teach trigonometry in the most hazard environments you can find and start over again. You can't keep starting over on a quarterback. It's not good for them and their development. Mm-hmm. And so when you bring in somebody that is just mediocre, could prove themselves, could get better, could prove me wrong in some levels, you can't expect Fields to develop there. He needs to go somewhere where he has a fresh start. The changing of the offense is a fresh start. It's not necessarily you keep changing in the same old scenario where it's mundane. And you got the same negativity and everything's coming down on you. You got the fan base, you know, potentially wavering on you. He needs to go somewhere where he's got open arms, fresh start. I want Fields nowhere near Chicago. I want JD nowhere near Chicago. I want Caleb to go there. If someone's going to burn to the ground, it's got to be Caleb. What?
The fan base is not wavering on Fields though.
There were
audible chants for him.
It's in general, it's not, but there are, and I talked to huge Bear pages and such, and it's definitely in the world of, okay, you give us the right offer, bye-bye. Like, they're not like, hey, we need them no matter what. A lot of them want Marvin Harrison Jr. and Fields, and that would be the smart play. That would be the smart play. If Poles does that, he's proving to me that he is on the right track. But if he keeps Justin Fields and trades down and doesn't get Marvin Harrison Jr., that's a huge sign that this is not going to work. And if he drafts Caleb Williams and does get, let's say, Adunze at 9, That's solid. I don't hate it, but I also don't think Waldron's the guy to make it all work. That's the problem. But if Kingsbury were there, I'd probably be on board Chicago. Kingsbury with Caleb and Odunze, or Fields and Odunze, or Fields and Marvin Harrison with Kingsbury. You'd have me. That's why I'm not biased with this. I would be on board the Chicago Bears train. I would be conducting the train again for a second year in a row. This is not about being burned last year or being wrong about it last year, which I was. I fully admit I thought Chicago was not going to fail Fields. I thought Fields would elevate big time, and he did in a couple games. We saw flashes of it, but absolutely want nothing to do with this situation unless, of course, you know, they do draft Marvin Harrison and keep Fields in. It's an interesting spot, but I still worry about it tremendously.
Hard to elevate consistently when the pieces are still incomplete, and I will continue to hold to that piece of that argument. But in any case, what do you make of the idea that they do seem to be leaning towards trading away the pick? We saw the report, right? That that they might be.
I don't know. That was a report from King.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily think holds any weight at all. Let me see if I can find the report, but it was.
Think even the RotoWorld write-up didn't really seem to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, listen to the report. I'll put it up on screen here, and we can discuss it. But it's nothing nothing to be. Let's see, where is it? Here it is. Peter King.
Just be them floating it out there.
Yeah, yeah, and it was NBC Sports, and that actually, you know. Peter King from NBC Sports, on top of NBC Sports reporting this. But Peter King wrote in his Football Morning in America column, I suppose the Bears are going to trade the top pick. I know nothing. But that seems to be the way the wind is blowing. But he knows nothing. He has no insider information on it. He has no clue what they're doing. And that's it sounds to me like he doesn't have... He's changing the direction of this without any information. I know nothing, he said. Why would he say that? This is my thought, my breakdown, and I could be 100% wrong. Again, I thought that Lamar Jackson would be snatched up like that when he was franchise tagged last year, and nobody went after him. So clearly logic does not play into this. Logic doesn't play into this half the time, and that's where I come from on this, and so I might be wrong. But here's my thinking here. And this is the last thing I'll say, and I do got to go. Fields, sure. If they retain Fields and fail, they're gone. All of them are gone.
Yep.
Poles is gone. Head coach is gone. Everybody's gone. The new OC's gone, because there's no way they screwed it up again. And if Fields fails, you don't even know if you have a good quarterback. You don't even know if you like Fields anymore. If Fields fails again, not only are you questioning the coaching staff, but you don't even know how much of it is Fields. The whole thing's done. If they go get Caleb Williams, though, then all of a sudden you have a longer ticking clock. You have a potential two-year window to figure it out. And so if I'm Poles, I'm looking at that. You can't pass on the number one overall quarterback and number one overall pick 2 years in a row. You have an opportunity to take the most touted quarterback in college football in a long, long time, and you already missed out on Stroud. Doesn't matter if people want to say they would have taken Bryce Young. You don't know that. And Stroud and Bryce Young were like this, neck and neck. It was not all Bryce Young. Carolina was all Bryce Young. What you're remembering, if you're in the comments, I've seen a lot of comments on this in my last video. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no competition. It was all Bryce Young. No, it wasn't. Just Carolina was all Bryce Young. The rest of the world was definitely wavering back and forth. And Chicago missed Vegas that. Chicago missed C.J. Stroud. You can look at this trade that they made and say, oh, Poles did a good trade. At the end of the day, he's got the number one overall pick from Carolina. Yeah. He lost C.J. Stroud. So if he loses Caleb, and Caleb is their guy, he's not my guy, but he's everyone else's guy as of right now, as you alluded to, that's a stupid move for them. I'm not saying it works out with Caleb, but I don't think it works out with Fields, and that is not representative of how I feel about Fields. It's just Fields in Chicago. But I think if they had taken Kingsbury and drafted Caleb, and then they got a Odunze or Bowers or whatever they wanted to do with this 9 pick, I would be I would be sitting here going, let's get on this train, because Kingsbury knows this guy. He can coach this guy, and Caleb does have a ton of skill. It's just, I don't think Waldron's going to sculpt it. I think this is going to be a reset year for Caleb. It's going to be a wasted year for Caleb. They're going to have to bring somebody in to redo the whole thing. But I do think they'll potentially give this team 2 years, and that it could be two wasted years for Caleb. So you have no guarantee that you don't get fired if you're Poles and everybody involved, if Caleb is drafted and they fail Caleb, but you certainly have a better shot at a 2 year window than you do if you fail with Fields. You fail with Fields, you're done. If you fail with Caleb, you might get that extra year. Maybe not.
The extended clock is a big thing. I also do talk to a lot of Bears fans. A lot of my friends are Bears fans. The extended clock is a big thing that they hold to for against my they should keep Fields argument. I mean, definitely, there's a lot of that in play. And the Roto World writer who was summarizing King's point pointed to that himself, that the extended clock is a very important factor in this.
Yeah.
You know, having 5 years instead of two.
Yep.
Before you have to extend.
All right. Anything else? I want to jump, guys.
Enjoy your pizza, Smitty. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And I hope your birthday was tremendous.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, Huffman. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Travis, you got anything else?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say real quick how you were saying how technically the Bears missed Stroud. Like, they obviously didn't seem to have any interest in him. And I get Fields was coming off a decent season, but technically speaking, if they had taken Stroud, they could have gotten a lot more for Fields last year than they could get this year,
probably. Yeah, that's the part that's so funny.
Fields
was
coming off a good season.
Right. And that's what's so funny about
that's
people.
That's never talked about.
Yeah, people say that Poles made one of the best trades in history of the NFL. It's a stupid. It's a stupid stance. Because he missed on Stroud. Yes, you got a first rounder. I get all that. But to your point, you're right. Stroud and whatever you would have gotten from Fields is easily the same thing, if not better, you know, way better, potentially. And I'm not saying Stroud.
1,000-yard rushing season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you definitely would have had a whole lot of value out of Fields that year, because he was looking good.
So, all right, go have your pizza. Talk to you later.
All right, see you, Travis. Appreciate you. All right, guys, appreciate you. Running backs: Henry, Barkley, Eckler, Jacobs. No one I have animations for or any kind of video, so obviously they're not huge players of mine walking into 2024. Very much doubted. All of them kind of doubted players of mine from last year. Eckler, I told everyone to avoid, and he busted on everyone. Jacobs, I told everyone to avoid. He didn't have the season that anybody wanted. Derrick Henry, I missed on that like no other, because Henry absolutely brought it for one more year. I'm definitely always going to, and if you're an avid dynasty owner, you don't blame me on that. I'm always going to err on the side of caution when your running back is 29 years old, because it's an anomaly. But he did prove me wrong. I took a lap on it. But I'm on board on Derrick Henry the next year after I just doubted him, only because his ADP and dynasty value is so low that you could maybe win a league by just acquiring this guy. Like, I venture to say a Derrick Henry owner, just like a Travis Kelce owner, he's a good player to buy now too. Cooper Kupp as well. Cooper Kupp, Travis Kelce, Derrick Henry, because those owners are afraid. They're so petrified they're going to get zero for the player. They want to get something. You offer somebody 2 second rounders for one of those guys, and that might seem high to some of you, but I'd give up 2 second rounders for Henry to win a league in cash money this year and let the wheels fall off, whatever. I'd give up 2 second rounders for Eckler and let the wheels fall off. I'd give 2 second rounders for Cooper Kupp and then let the wheels fall off. I could care less about second rounders when you give me something that can win me cash money, even if it's just for 1 year. Appreciate all of you. Yeah, Lou Malinati's. Yeah, I never know what she's doing back there. See you later. Probably woke Miss Smitty up, by the way. She's loving the no boss horn. She's like, thank God it's gone. She's just like, she got her new iPhone, sitting there playing a lullaby as she's going to bed. New iPhone, no boss horn. What a good deal she got. I'll see you all later. Appreciate you. Thanks for watching the Dynasty Channel. And don't forget to subscribe to the Rumble Show, which we got to get back to doing daily shows. It's kind of been a main channel and Dynasty Channel take priority, but we're still building this Rumble channel up. Rumble.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. Link in the description of this video. And this is, you're watching YouTube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. Link is in the description. If for any reason, you know, you want to click on it, go to the homepage and then subscribe. And then YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow is the main event. And that takes priority over everything. If there's a Dynasty or Rumble show I need to do and I'm about to go live and some breaking news happens, we're going live on the main channel. That's never getting compromised. It takes the lead over everything. And you might even find me doing more like uploads and not always live streams on the Dynasty channel, just so I can continue to always make sure I'm hitting the main channel whenever there's something big. I'll see you all later. Appreciate you. Deuces. And on that note, I'll leave you with a...
Legend has it, if you say Saint Brown three times in the dark in the bathroom, you will immediately lose your league.
Live Monday through Friday on the main channel. Live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, every Monday through Friday on the main channel. And live whenever big news breaks on the main channel. That main channel is YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballShow. Pretty easy. Links in the description. If you're watching this Dynasty channel and you have not yet subscribed to the main channel, see you all tomorrow. Thank you for all the super chats. Ron Navy dropping two super chats. Ron to the moon. Thank you, Ron. Prayers up to Ron and the family, by the way. Happy birthday to Huffman and to Travis. Travis, I'm sorry I didn't know it was your birthday. And what else was I gonna say? Sick Nasty, thank you for being here moderating. Thank you, DeBolt, moderator. Travis, moderator. I don't know who else is in here that's a moderator, but I appreciate you if you're in here. Congrats to Matt O and Peanut Butter and Jelly on their fast. They're doing the fast with me. Time to eat some pizza pie. See you all later. Hopefully I don't implode.